My name is Monica Gleiberman, and you're listening to Silence on Set Podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking to the cast of Somewhere in Montana. The film follows John Alexander, who is a man whose roots run strong and deep in Montana. His presence on the land is as much a part of Montana as the mountains themselves against the wide open sky. But for the first time in his life, John is realizing that not everything is set in stone as he previously believed. Facing the potential loss of his land and his livelihood, John realizes that he's going to have to make a deal that may as well be as akin to selling his soul to the devil. So to talk about the film, first up is Michelle Hurd, who plays Kat.
Well, I want to start off, you know, obviously this film, it's so beautiful. It's called Somewhere in Montana for anyone listening or watching. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, kind of how you got involved in the project, because it's a very indie film, but it's so beautiful. And there's so many elements that it covers. So I was like, how did they get Michelle? How did they get her? Because she's such a legend.
I like legend. Makes me feel less than like not so just old. Well, you know, really, it's the casting director, Ricky. She just cast me in another indie film called Plus One with Cedric the Entertainer, which I played his wife, which was super fun. You can imagine improvising with that man is ridiculous. And Jonathan Stauder was also in that film. And I heard last night, we all came in yesterday for the premiere and we had a little dinner gathering. And Brandon was telling me that she brought my name up and said, what about, you know, Michelle Hurd? And Brandon was like, yeah, right. Like, she's going to be interested in this. And I wish people wouldn't think that, because I'm interested in all kinds of art, you know, just, you know, reach out. I'm sitting around waiting to make good, you know, good art with creative people. And they sent the script over, and I'm not going to tell you, because usually when someone asks me this, I tell them about the certain section in the script that really hit me, but I'm not going to say it because I want you guys to come see it. But there was, you know, I read the script and I read this scene, and it was so beautiful. It was just so beautiful, and it really touched me. And I think anybody who has loved and lost love and are working through how to move on can really relate to it. And, you know, that's all it takes for me to take a job, is if there's a real truth, a heart message, I'm in. And so I read that and I was like, yep. Sign me up. And then I have to say, coming out here to Polson, Montana, I couldn't have even thought that it would change my life as it has. I'm sure I can, agree that it's just, it's a beautiful place. It's a soothing place. This Flathead Lake is so beautiful. And it really, you just really see, you know, the incredible planet that we live on, you know, this beautiful place that we live on that is just, you know, has so much beauty to offer us. If we just respect it and love it, you know, it gives back to us. So that's been a real, I think, for the entire cast, we all, and that's why the entire cast basically has come back to Polson, Montana for this premiere, because it was this place, this community that welcomed us so much. The cast became family. I'm so grateful that Ricky reached out, and I'm so grateful that I said yes.
I think people probably are like shocked when they get you, because I told you, you're a legend. That's why. But we'll let the word out now. She will do it if it's good. Send it
to
her.
Thank you, Monica. Say that again, whenever you want. Say that as much as possible.
No, but seriously, it's true. So that's probably why. Like, I would never think if I wrote a movie, I would get you, because you're so, like, literally legendary status. So I wanted to ask you, so what's so great is I read the description online. So you play Kat, and she's coming on to a farm with farmers and ranchers that are not necessarily happy about the fact that she is spearheading a film that they're going to be recording on the land. And by doing that, it can hurt the land or ruin land and, like, you know, and various other things. It's kind of like a ripple effect. So for you, what was that like? I mean, like, that it's gorgeous. The shots that they show are beautiful. The location that was picked with the house, like, there's a house and it's kind of literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was beautiful. But when you read initially for Kat and you hear, you know, her goals, which is to make this film on this land, were you nervous about it? Were you excited about it? Do you work on trying to understand why she wants to do it? How do you like work that out kind of in your brain, because it is such beautiful land and because the owner isn't that thrilled that you're coming on, who is played by Graham McTavish. It's not that thrilled that people are coming onto his land initially.
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting because as an actor, you know, you just look for truths, right? You want to ground your performance in truth. And, you know, as we've spoken, I've been in this industry industry for decades. And so I've experienced so many producers on sets and producers who hold their director's hands, who are there 24/7, who are putting out fires left and right. So it was really it was very easy for me to sort of step into that world of what she's doing, because, you know, from her point of view, she has this project. She's got to make sure the funding, you know, stays tight, which means she's got to keep to schedule and she has to get it done. So that's what she's thinking. You know, this is her, you know, thought like, okay, now I'm just going to go to this place. I'm going to talk to this man. We're going to sign this thing. We're going to start shooting. Everything's fine. She's not even computing really. I mean, she knows that this is Hollywood, quote unquote, coming to Montana. It may not be, a red carpet welcome, but in her head, she's just ticking off boxes. You know, she's like, right, so we have to do this, 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 and go on. I feel like I've experienced that on almost every set. There's producers who are forever, you know, running around with their heads on fire, you know, trying to look calm. And I have to say, one thing that was kind of lovely here was Eden, who, who's one of our producers, phenomenal producer. I really loved meeting her and interacting with her. And because she's from here, I just wanted to, I sort of used her as a bit of an inspiration as a producer on this type of film, you know? And so I really, you know, I sort of was watching her and I was like, yeah, yeah. Because I didn't want it to be like, you know, you have to place where you're supposed to be in the script and make that the reality. So I really wanted to give myself as many truths as I could to really ground the character. Because then once you do that, you can fly. You have so much real estate that you can really play in once you get your roots down, so to speak. So honestly, it was a very smooth sort of transition. I know we're all probably saying this, but the actors, everybody really embodied what was asked of the script. It was such a smooth fit to, like, my first scenes when I meet the ranch owner, played by Graham McTavish, who's phenomenal. You know, and this is a Scottish man, and he's here, you know, embodying a Montana ranch man. And I swear, he really just, you know, sat in it. And so our first scenes, and he knew what exactly he wanted to do and knew that this was his ranch and he didn't want it to be sort of corrupted by this Hollywood presence. So the scenes and the energy is, it's just right there. You know, you don't have to force anything, which is the best. You want what comes from the page, comes through the body, comes through the, you know, interaction with your scene partner to just kind of flow so that you don't have to, you know, force it. So it really made, and that's a testament to the writing as well. So really, it was just a smooth fit. I didn't have to go really far to try to figure out how to bring her to life. She really sort of stepped up in me and let herself be known. And I quite like Kat because she's, you know, I like being bosses in charge and kind of, you know, strong women as we are. So, you know, this, it felt yummy to play her.
And do you struggle too? Cause obviously I've seen the film, so I'm trying really hard not to give anything away. But for you, I found it very interesting because I really enjoy watching Kat kind of come in. And like you said, it's almost like a checklist, right? It's her job. She's done this. It's like every day, you could tell she's done movies before. This is nothing new to her. Is there a fine line when you're doing a part like that where you don't want to come off like someone that doesn't care? Like a producer that doesn't care at all and is just right. Like there to do a job and leave, because you do such a great job of that balance. Like, I don't feel like she comes on and she's aggressive. I don't feel like she comes on and she's saying, I don't care about your feelings. I think right. She comes on and has an idea of what she thinks it's going to be, but is open-minded to what happens when she arrives. So how do you balance that out to make her not someone that you're like, oh, I just don't like this character. Why is she doing this?
You know, and I think it still comes back to understanding. Well, I think Kat, you know, this is sort of an interesting sort of, I didn't really think about how to articulate this kind of response. So it's just going to flow out here. I think because she is a producer who has been doing this for quite a long time, she knows how to navigate through the tricky waters, right? Meaning she's been on sets with high maintenance actors, with high maintenance directors, with high maintenance everything, right? So she's learned how, and she's a woman in this industry. She's known that she has to have a strong voice, but you can't annoyingly, because of this is what the, you know, world says, we can't have a shrill voice, right? Because then we're hysterical, supposedly, please. So I think she's really learned how to balance egos and emotions of others and that kind of thing. And I have to say, for me, for Michelle, walking onto many sets where there's big egos and, you know, all that same stuff in real life, I too have learned how to navigate that so that I'm okay, you know, so that I don't end up getting blows back, right? So I think I just tapped into that kind of thing of like, how would she deal with these very extreme differences between my character's director and, I mean, the film's director and the, you know, ranch owner and the different actors. And how do you make everybody feel pretty? My sister and I always joke that when, you know, we interact with people and they're losing their shit or, you know, whatever, you're like, okay, you're pretty. Everybody's pretty. We're all pretty and it's everybody's birthday. Okay. Okay. It's that kind of thing of like making sure that everybody has a platform and feels heard. But I do think that Kat has, I think in this film, she even goes into a journey where she understands more about herself in it as well. She's touched by something that happens in it. And I think she's changed. Even some of the earlier things, you could see she's navigating, she's doing her, you know, she's, you know, checking her boxes. But then she too is impacted by some things that happen on the set. I think everybody is profoundly changed in this project because of this event that happens. I think she will, if I was to think of like what would Kat do moving on, I think she would have an even broader and a more deeper understanding of people and struggles moving on to the next project because of what happened in this. I wanted her to be, you know, alive enough to grow and change and be impacted by her circumstances, but not be overwhelmed with her circumstances. So that way you really have to navigate each interaction. It's pretty fun.
You know, unfortunately, you're right. As women with different backgrounds, diversity, whatever the case is, sexual orientation, you say anything and we're a bitch. I mean, like, there's no other way to say it. Like, you're just like, a bitch, you're difficult to work with or whatever the case is. So it's just so frustrating. So that's why when I saw you, you know, in this film and the way that you handle it, it was so delicate, but authoritative. And that's such a hard thing to do. And so to hear, you know, kind of, it makes sense that for the years, again, legend, I'll keep using it because it's true. So the years that you've done all this legendary work, you've gotten, unfortunately, kind of used to having to do that, having to balance these men and, you know, whoever else is in the industry, like, you know, like, I have an idea, but okay, I'm gonna offer it this way so it doesn't come off in a certain way. So you've taken that and that you kind of poured into Kat a little bit, which,
yeah, exactly,
so well in that film, because it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's like learning how to sort of put the breadcrumbs down so that somebody else thinks that it's their idea. You're like, oh, that's such a good idea, you know. Yeah.
I know, I feel like women were really good at that.
We're really good at it. One of our superpowers. Idea.
Well, I, like I said, I love her so much. What was it like for you when you stepped out and kind of, because Montana's beautiful and I think we all have pictures of what it might look like. This film in the very beginning, and again, I don't think it's any shocker, they do like kind of like a wide shot or like a pull-up shot and you see this huge set, like mountains and land and this one gorgeous house that's like kind of sitting like a farmhouse sitting there. What was that like when you pulled up and you were like, oh my gosh, this is where we're shooting? So what was your kind of take on that and working obviously in Montana? It's just such a beautiful state. And we've seen shows, you know, like show Montana or, you know, do a fake Montana. But I don't know, there was something special about this film and that the way that it was shot and the scenes. And I just love that scene in particular when the movie first starts, that first 30 seconds and there's no people, there's no nothing. It's just the house and the land and the mountains. So like get out of that truck, like, you know, when they pick you up or whatever, you drive there, you get out and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, so what is that like when you step out?
You know, Monica, honestly, every single day we drove to set, it was that beautiful, amazing discovery experience. I swear, obviously the first day, because, you know, we're all staying in some sort of hotel or whatever, and we get picked up and we drive a bit, drive, and you kind of go through these winding things. And then you come over this, you know, like hill and you're gifted with this amazing view, this vista, this, you know, beautiful plains. It almost is like a make-believe farmhouse because it's so perfect. It's quintessential. It's what you imagine. It's literally the porch, the picket fence, the whole thing, and the mountains on in behind and beside. And I mean, we every single time we would all be like chatting in the car, like meep, 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 whatever. And as soon as we come over that bend, we just all go, ah, look at this. I'm sure that, like, not just the first day, probably almost to the last day, every time we got onto the set, we would stop and we'd, you know, say, oh, look at this over there. Oh my gosh, look over there. Oh my goodness, we're taking pictures. We would just comment on how beautiful it is. And there's just something, you know, I've said this to, you know, my family. I love water and I love islands. You know, I'm half Jamaican, so I love going down to, you know, the Caribbean, and it's always been my thing. I'm like, yeah, Caribbean, the ocean, and, you know, that water. But I have been so changed. I still love an island, but I've been so changed, and I love what has been given to me, because sitting by a lake and seeing the mountains, you know, behind them, it's magical. It's kind of magical. You know, you really appreciate the beauty and the expanse and the breadth of air here, you know? I'm a New Yorker. I'm born and raised in New York's Greenwich Village, New York. I'm used to like every different kind of sound constantly happening. And to be out in this beautiful ranch where you're just hearing nature and you're, you know, the air is so clean and the, you understand, you know, it's hard to even put into words how truly glorious this place is. And, you know, I never heard, I'm sorry, I apologize. I had never heard of Polson, Montana, but trust me, I really am not good at geography anyway. So I don't know a lot of the states, but finding this place, and I have to say it, I know I said it before, but the community here, you know, they welcomed us. They opened their arms to us. I felt like family almost immediately. You know, I didn't feel any kind of weird thing and not being welcomed or whatever. People smile. We interacted, you know, and it's a true part of this film. It's the other cast member, you know, an important cast member. It might be number one on the call sheet because it flavored how we worked here. It flavored how our, like every single thing about it, how I walked on the grounds, how I looked around, how I listened. It's a complete different experience. And I'm, you know, so glad that we were able to actually shoot here and, you know, not to inundate Polson, Montana with production, but if people can get the opportunity to film in Polson, Montana, it's a gift that we'll keep on giving and the rewards are bountiful. It was really for all of us. And again, it's the reason we all came back because this gave us something. It gave us a different kind of perspective on life. I know that sounds all very fruity and all that stuff, but it really is true. There's something about this wonderful place, Polson, Montana, that is filled with a lot of love.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm a New Yorker, so I'm in New York right now. So I completely understand because anytime I go on vacation or I go somewhere like that, it's unexplainable. And it's the reason why so many ranchers and so many people are fighting to keep their land. And because, I mean, it's just, it's something that people, you can't explain it really. You did a really good job of trying to, like, you know, like give the essence of it because it's so hard to explain because until you're standing there and you're looking at it, you get this weird feeling, like, I don't know. And like, it's hard to explain and it's beautiful. And that's why so many people are fighting for it. And which is why I was so glad it took place in Montana to show this rancher and to show how the struggles and how hard and like what he's doing because it's difficult and so many people are fighting to keep it. I wanted to know really quickly what it was like working with Graham. And then what is your hope to like for this film, like I said, there's so many layers of kind of lessons to learn as you're watching this film, whether it's acceptance, whether it's being willing to accept help.
Well, first of all, you know, working with Graham was incredible. I've had the opportunity to work with some amazing actors, you know, and some of our amazing, you know, like Patrick Stewart. And I mean, just, you know, the list goes on. And walking on set to, you know, first meet Graham McTavish, you know, all I could think of was like Outlander, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, The Witcher, you know, like everything kept coming. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I kind of geeked out. I did. I'm not going to lie. I geeked out a little bit. I think I might have stuttered and been like, you know, but he's so sweet. He's really lovely. He's a beautiful man. You know, he's a really beautiful gentleman from inside and out. He has amazing stories. He's willing to engage. You know, he's not standoffish at all. He's funny. He's self-deprecating. He's just a wonderful person, a really lovely man. And then to work with him, he's just, you know, man, he's powerful and subtle, you know, within the same moment. He's strong and vulnerable within the same moment. You know, that's the kind of stuff that you want. My husband's an actor, and we always talk about how you want to be surrounded by people who are better because it lifts you up and elevates you and you want to do better, right? And that's Graham McTavish. You know, you want to sort of, you know, get yourself inspired to do more and do better and be deeper and be more of a nuanced actor. You know, do a scene with Graham McTavish. It's a, you know, check, you know, that'll do it. And what do I want people to come away with on this film? I mean, it's such a beauty. I don't want to give away a whole bunch, but I hope that people, first of all, I think when people come see this film, there's going to be so many different characters in it that you're going to kind of find yourself in someone. There's going to be sort of a relatable story in there, even just an aspect of somebody you'll find familiar to yourself, which I think is really important because it's important to see ourselves reflective in this world, especially through entertainment, solely because it is a platform that can go out to so many. That's the real importance of art in general, to connect us all so that we all know that we're here together on this lovely, you know, little planet. But one of the beautiful heart things about this film is sometimes you will find yourself in a place that is somewhat dark, but you have found comfort in that darkness and to understand that if you can release that darkness, the light will pour in, that there's always hope, that there's always love, and that love can reveal itself in many different ways, and to let yourself experience that, to let it in. I hope people just walk away going, you know, yesterday was beautiful, today is beautiful, and tomorrow can be beautiful.
And next up is the one and only Graham McTavish, who plays John Alexander.
This film is so good. It's so beautiful. I love it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So they were able to get you a copy to look at.
Yes. I watched it. I actually watched it twice. It's one of the most beautiful films I think I've seen in a long time.
Oh, I agree. It's very timely. It's not the usual films that you get nowadays. It's a little bit of a kind of a return to a tradition of filmmaking that we don't really encourage so much now, which is very sort of simple, gentle, profound examinations of, you know, culture, respect, mutual respect, understanding, tolerance, family, traditions, all these sort of things that are really, I think, at risk nowadays, you know, those concepts. And I think it's very, very timely. It's really the main reason that I did the film was that message, I think, that Brandon is sending out, really, particularly in the relationship between John and Fabienne, that, you know, that two people who really do not occupy the same space at all in terms of their beliefs and cultures and the things that they enjoy, but can come to an understanding and a respect for each other through knowing each other.
Well, that's what I found so beautiful, because you play John Alexander, who is a ranch owner who's upset because they want to come in and kind of film on his land. And land is so respected. And I know so many ranchers are fighting to keep their land. So I completely understand the position he's put in. He kind of allows them begrudgingly to kind of do it. And in that process, kind of like you said, there's relationships that get formed where it wouldn't normally happen. You guys wouldn't normally cross paths the way Absolutely. That you guys do in this film. So what did that mean to you to kind of like play John and instill kind of a little bit of an old school kind of mentality, but then be able to meet people where your mind is still open-minded and you're willing to listen and talk to them and not argue necessarily?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, I definitely occupy more of the space that John occupies in terms of my generation, my, you know, my upbringing, all of the things that helped form us. And, you know, he reminds me very much of my father. In fact, the more I work in this business, the more roles that I find that remind me of him, which is strange. You know, there's a little bit of Dougal McKenzie in my dad. There's a little bit of Dwalin. There's a lot of John Alexander in my dad. Not so much Dijkstra in The Witcher, but, you know, I mean, similarly, you know, even the House of the Dragon, the attitude of Sir Harold, very, very much like my father. But yeah, those traditions, I mean, they're old fashioned, to put it mildly. They're often frowned upon and, you know, looked upon in a derogatory way, that people who represent those values are sort of labeled as, you know, boomers and all of this sort of stuff, this sort of arbitrary label that you put on people based on when they were born. But, you know, I think for John, he gets to know Fabian, and in through getting to know him, he becomes somebody that he cares about. And it doesn't mean that he likes necessarily what Fabian's doing, because I think one of the most telling lines in the film is at the very end, when John has financed the film, selling his own ranch, and Fabian says to him, well, I thought you didn't like the film. And straight away, instantly, John says, I still don't. And I think that's so interesting. It would have been such an easy cop-out for Brandon to go down the road of, yeah, you know, I now understand, you know, what it is you're trying to say. And I think it's really important that we have these discussions. He doesn't think that at all. What he cares about is the person, right. Fabian. He cares about him. He's not so interested in the message of the film, which is his right. But what's crucial about John's attitude to all of these things is, you are freely allowed to express your views and your values, and I will respect them in as much as I will listen to you, and I won't be derogatory about you because of what you believe in, and I simply ask the same of you, and that's it. And it's such a simple message, really, but it seems to be such a difficult message for people today to really understand, that we don't have to agree. We just have to be able to listen and, you know, like somebody for the strength of their belief. And there, that's really, 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 really important because, you know, another version of this film could have been John becoming incredibly hostile towards Fabian, you know, rude, you know, just mocking him, you know, all the kind of tropes that those kind of stories can fall into, that there's no meeting between them at all in terms of who they are. But Brandon really did something, I think, very courageous in the writing of this and made them people, you know, people that were difficult for the other person to understand, but in the getting to know each other, they did learn something about themselves as well, something about human relationships that's very important.
Yeah, and I agree. I think, you know, especially in these times, which are kind of wild, you think that for, unfortunately, we've lost that somewhere along the way of having a conversation and being able to have a conversation. Like, it's okay to not agree. Yeah. It's okay to learn about someone else. And this movie shows you, not only in the, one of the most beautiful landscapes ever, but it shows you that people that could not be further from a similar background, like, you know, like couldn't be further apart, that had like come together under various circumstances, can sit and talk and understand each other, not necessarily agree with one another, but understand each other and respect one another. Again, like you said, it's so simple. It's something that I think we need to see, because it's something that I think a lot of people need to take a second and reflect and watch it and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have reacted the way I did, or maybe I should do this, you know, and that's what you guys kind of represent in this film.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard to listen sometimes. It's easier to be in an echo chamber and just have your views and your values and everything reinforced constantly by people who believe exactly the same as you. You know, another really important moment is, you know, when Bob really brings John to the point where he's giving away his wife's belongings, something that he's been so resistant to, and that he learns something through that process. I think it's a really pivotal moment in the film that John shares those belongings with these people that he barely knows, actually, in a really beautiful way, that they take something of him, of his wife, and in the doing of that, they bind together forever, those people. And it's great. I loved watching it. I don't enjoy watching things that I'm in, really. It's always a bit of a painful process, but I was able to put that to one side with this and really just enjoy the story, you know, the relationships between the people, seeing the other performances in it. It was really great, yeah.
How is it working? You know, I was speaking with Michelle right before you, and she said, you know, she actually said she was a little nervous. She was like, you know, he's an Outlander, he's in all these shows. She said she was a little nervous meeting you. She said you're the sweet, nice, funny, deprecating guy. And she said that you were just so fantastic with the accent and with really embodying this character. So what was it like working on the opposite with Michelle?
Oh, it was great. I mean, honestly, you know, I don't say this lightly. You know, everybody that worked on that film, everybody, you know, the people that catered the film, the people, the PAs, you know, the producers, everybody. It was a very, very, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it was a very family feeling environment. We all worked together towards a common goal. There was literally no ego on the set at all from anybody. It's so refreshing to be, you know, and I've been pretty lucky that way, actually. I would say that's been overall my experience on most of the things that I've worked on, that, you know, certainly Outlander was like that, you know, especially in those first two seasons, the sense of everybody working together to make something as good as possible. And it was the same with this. We were, you know, everyone was happy to be there. Everyone got on with it. Brandon was very open to suggestions. We listened to each other and we worked really hard. I mean, we accomplished a lot in 4 weeks. It was a lot of shooting. And it really goes to show, you know, that a low budget independent movie can really stand out and hold its head up high. I'm very proud of everybody's work on this.
It's a beautiful film. I just found so much appreciation in the fact that there were conversations that were able to be had, or people being able to freely give their opinion without significant conflict. It was just nice to see we had years ago, which was like communication and talking. And it was just a very nice set on one of the most beautiful backgrounds a multi-layered movie where there's like a bunch of lessons to be learned by the time it's over.
And it doesn't need to take away from people's passion about what they believe. You know, they don't need to sort of, you know, water it down and sort of go, well, you know, I kind of believe in this, you know, maybe you don't. It's, you know, it makes me happy. No, these people are very passionate. John's very passionate about his way of life. Fabian's very passionate about his film, very passionate about what the film represents. John doesn't agree with a lot of what it represents. It's all good. It's all good. You know, I used to remember so many conversations in pubs in Scotland and England, you know, dinner parties where people would get heated about stuff, you know, not abusive, but heated. And at the end of the evening, everyone parted friends and everyone listened. Nobody walked off while somebody was talking and said, I'm not interested in your, it was very, very healthy.
And how was it for you filming in Montana? And then of course, doing the accent, which by the way, if I didn't know you and I didn't see anything else you've ever done, I would have no idea that you were Scottish and you had an accent. What was that like, you know, filming in Montana and then doing that accent?
The accent, I've always been reasonably lucky with accents. I'm pretty good with them. I enjoy doing them. It's actually quite rare for me to use my natural accent in things. I would say The Witcher is probably the only thing recently that I can think of that I have used my natural voice. And in terms of Montana, I mean, what can I say? I love this place. I love it. It's the people. I mean, yes, the landscape is beautiful. I've got this amazing view that I'm looking at now over Flathead Lake, and it's stunning, but it's the people that make this place. Everybody I encountered, every single person, the diner, the bar, going into, you know, coffee shops, anywhere you went, people were genuinely welcoming. They were interested in you. It's a beautiful way of living that they have here, which I think, and again, I think it's reflected in the film, that was much more common everywhere at one time. And I think we've lost touch with what they've been able to hold on to here, which is a really interconnected, respectful, helpful, cooperative way of life. You know, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're all sort of living in communes. They're just really great neighbors, and they're welcoming to people who don't come from here. I remember being in the diner, and I was there on my own, and there were three proper cowboys sitting at the bar, older gentlemen, and this young guy came in, and they knew immediately that he wasn't from around here. You know, they just very quietly started to say, you know, oh, you know, what brings you here? And he worked in the construction industry. He was a builder, and he had heard that they needed builders out here. So he'd moved from Georgia, and he'd come out, and his family were going to join him. And they just had this very beautiful, simple exchange. You know, nothing, they weren't like prying into each other's lives or anything. But what came out of it at the end was this beautiful moment where this older man said to the young man, he said, well, young man, you're very welcome here. And I thought, that's such a beautiful thing to say. It's so sincerely meant, but very simple. You know, we recognize that you are bringing something to us that we need, and we respect you for that. And you will always be welcome here because of it. No, I'll never forget it. I just thought, wow, you know, because, you know, you live in a very, very big city, and a lot of those exchanges are ignored. They just don't happen. People are too busy. They're not interested. They're shy, whatever it is. But yeah, it was great. So I love Montana.
So you are in Montana for the premiere. So you guys are back.
Yes.
So what are you most excited about tonight? Kind of like your baby, this thing that you worked so hard on, that's such a beautiful film, out to the world. So what are you most excited about? Especially, and what's also great is that it's premiering in Montana. So,
well, the community are going to be there, and it is a film, you know, that's been helped to be made by the community. People invested in it. People helped out for nothing on it. And so this was a really huge joint community effort. And so it's completely appropriate that we're showing it for the first time here. No, I can't wait for people to see it. You know, I toyed with the idea of, you know, going along dressed as a, you know, in the full cowboy gear. And I actually concluded that it would be wrong of me, because it's okay for me to dress as John Alexander when I'm making a film. But I think it would have actually been disrespectful of me to sort of do a kind of cosplay cowboy turning up at the premiere. So I'm going dressed in a suit, because that's me. I'm not going as a sort of fake sort of plastic cowboy where there's real cowboys. It would have been wrong. So I'm really, really, really looking forward to it.
Well, I just want to tell you, the movie is beautiful. You're fantastic in it. I loved it. So congratulations. I think
Thank
it's
you.
Huge. I can't wait to see it everywhere. And then I just want to give you like a really quick second. I know you have a book coming out. You're a little busy. So you have a book coming out, which I'm super excited about. And I know fans love. You are returning to Outlander again for the season. So you have House of Dragon season 2, hopefully. We'll see maybe parts of you in that. So just a little busy with some stuff. So I just want to give you a quick second. Fans love you. So if there's anything that you want to say to the fans or plug anything.
Well, yeah, I'm very excited for people to see the second season of Men in Kilts on August the 11th. It starts. The book comes out November the 7th. So we're very excited about that. I think people will really like it. It's very interesting about New Zealand, about our experiences, about the history. The third season of The Witcher starts airing end of this month, and we start shooting season 4 later this year. So there's a lot happening. There's something else that's coming up that I'm going to be announcing, I think probably either next next week or the week after. I'm just waiting for, you know, things to be signed and all of that sort of stuff, but which I'm very excited about. So I can't wait to let people know about that.
Hope you guys enjoyed listening to Graham and Michelle talk about what it was like filming Somewhere in Montana. This was clearly a project of love. They spoke about how much they enjoyed being in Montana, what the people were like, and of course their premiere that they were having later that day. So it was so much fun hearing about the filming process and what it was like for the two of them. If you're interested in finding out more information, do a quick Google of Somewhere in Montana to see if it's playing somewhere near you. Also, stay tuned to Michelle and Graham's social media accounts, where they will be updating you as to where the movie's playing and or where you'll be able to stream it in the future. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you're updated on all of our latest podcasts, and head over to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe, so you're updated on all of our video content.